0141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard as we look back on a potentially decisive weekend in the Scottish Premiership title race. It's a weekend that belongs to Glasgow's Big Two because the top three are now separated by just 3 points. Hearts losing at Kilmarnock, Celtic seeing off Motherwell, and Rangers getting the better of St Mirren. And elsewhere, Steve Clarke names his latest Scotland squad with the World Cup looming, including a potentially surprise inclusion in Kilmarnock's on-loan Rangers winger, Finlay Curtis. I'm Gordon Duncan, and joining me tonight, a man who narrowly missed out in Andy Halliday, and a man who definitely missed out in Roger Hannah.
Well, listen, it's been a fascinating weekend. I need to ask my learned colleague next to me, who for 6 months is telling me Hearts are going to win the league. Have we seen the first sign of a jumbo wobble? Have we seen real signs that the Old Firm are getting their act together for the run in the last 8 games of the season? What about the finale to the Dundee Derby at Dens yesterday? It wasn't dour, dreek and dismal. It was dazzling and dramatic for once. And not just Finlay Curtis, who you mentioned, but Dominic Hyam, Ross McCrory, Scott Bain, Andy Irving, Tommy Conway. Have they all got a chance to get their passports stamped to go to America this summer, Gordon?
Certainly not all of them, that's for sure. But as you say, that SPL table has took another twist, and this time it is the Jambos that let slip at the weekend. Good games at the weekend, some boring games, some real entertainment and some chaos, and obviously controversial as well, that I'm sure we'll get into. If you're that way inclined, Steve Clarke has named his first Scotland squad, and like he says, congratulations to Finlay Curtis, who makes it.
0141 951 1025. It's getting easy, this football phone in stuff. You say, what do you think of the title race now? We ask that question every night because it seems like it's changing all the time, but this feels like it could be a big one. We won't know yet, but we want your thoughts, your predictions, your feelings, your reactions to that weekend. How do you feel about that title race now? If it was tight, intense and exciting already, the top three are now separated by just 3 points. It could not be any more dramatic. So who is in the driving seat? Is that a serious dent to Hearts' hopes? Is it advantage to Glasgow's sides? They're still behind Hearts on the table, of course, but for how much longer? Rangers win at St Mirren probably doesn't go down as a classic, a pretty afternoon, but is that what you need to do at this stage of the season? Just win the games. The Celtic Motherwell game had a bit more incident in it, quite a few things to work through there, culminating in a good Celtic win against an impressive Motherwell side. And all sorts going on down the leagues and even the international setup as well. Because Roger Hannah, I know we find it hard to find room for an international friendly in amongst the chaos of a title race. But if you want to be really simplistic about it, these are the most important Scotland friendlies in however long, you tell me. Because firstly, we don't get friendlies anymore because of the Nations League. And you don't need me to tell you, it's been a long time since friendlies were gearing towards a World Cup.
Yeah, and listen, I'll boil it right down. We mentioned a few of the unusual, you know, names in the squad, headed by 19-year-old Finlay Curtis, 6 games at Kilmarnock, he's in the Scotland squad. This is their one and only chance to gatecrash the World Cup. By the time Steve Clarke picks teams to take on Curaçao and Venezuela immediately before the finals, the squad will be named. He'll have decided what 26 are going. This is a chance for Finlay Curtis to shine. I've no doubt Harvey Barnes of Newcastle would have been in the Scotland squad had he said yes. So maybe Finlay Curtis can grab this chance to be the Harvey Barnes.
Right, get the calls in. There's loads to get through. Let these two put you in the mood just in case you need it, though. Your result of the weekend was...
I'm going to go for Kilmarnock. No, I wasn't overly surprised with Hearts dropping points in the game. You could foresee potentially a draw, given there has been a slight upturn in form and performance level since Neil McCann came in. But they got the win, and not only that, I thought they thoroughly deserved it as well. I thought they were a better team throughout.
I'm going to go for Dundee. Oh. If you're 2-0 down in the 94th minute and you somehow get a 2-2 draw, it's fantastic. But the real reason I'm going for Dundee is this viral video of the ball boy who joined the celebrations with the Dundee players. The steward thought he was a fan who had come out of the crowd and grabbed him and chucked him out.
Scottish football, when they eventually make the documentary of this season, it's going to need to be 48 hours long. The ball boy getting huckled out for celebrating a goal is excellent piece of misidentification.
It's peak Scottish football.
It really
is. It's peak Scottish football, but at least we don't do huddles round referees and say we respect the ball.
There is also that as well.
I believe before the Willie show, they do have a huddle around Willie in the studio each month just to make him feel important.
Is it one man huddle? Just me?
A big production team.
What are you thinking? Goal of the weekend? I don't think you had loads of choices.
No, I'm going to go actually. I like to give something to the game I was at. And Super Scoreboard sent me to Perth to see St Johnstone against Ross County. Not the game of the season, I think it's safe to say, but it was a terrific goal that won it by Rhys McAleer, and that'll be my choice.
It was slim pickings in the top flight, so I'm going to go to League One. I'm going to go for Ballindemus. There's so many people in their car right now saying, who's Ballindemus?
And you're going
it's
to tell
the
them.
Cove Rangers goalkeeper who equalised against Inverness in the 94th minute. Any goalkeeper that scores a goal at the weekend is getting my goal at the weekend.
It's so true. See, when we like, you can overthink football and we all get involved, but there's just nothing better than the madness of a goalkeeper scoring. It doesn't happen often enough.
I thought it could have been John McCracken until something happened.
We might get on to. Your howler of the weekend.
Well, let's go on
seamless
to
seamless transition.
Ross Graham, captain of Dundee United. They've just lost a goal, 2-1 in the 95th minute. He absolutely cements the Dundee goal scorer, Ash Hay, in a sort of neutral area of the park. Ash Hay is back to the goal. There was no imminent threat. He gave away a free kick. He was quite chippy to his Dundee opponents as they were lining up for the free kick. And as John McCracken burst in to cause confusion, the ball was knocked in by Finn Robertson. And Ross Graham headed it past his own goalkeeper for 2-2.
On a sort of human level, balance up by saying he must feel rotten about himself last night. I've got a bit of sympathy as well.
Listen, Jim Goodman said as much. He's Ross club captain, he's come through the academy at Tanneries. Nobody knows more in that Dundee United squad about the importance of the Dundee derby. It will have been a bad night for him.
Your howler?
Well, I think we've had a lot of controversial weekends that haven't been that controversial when it comes to refereeing decisions over the last few weeks.
We just see that they're all controversial now.
But for me, I think this weekend was controversial. I think the officials got more than a couple big decisions wrong over the weekend. I'll elaborate further over the next couple of hours.
All right, no, it gives a wee flavour.
Well, I think there's three in particular.
Okay.
One at Celtic Park, one at Dens Park, and one at Easter Road.
He's leaving us hanging on his every word.
Oh, that's a teaser, isn't it?
We'll get him to point them out as the show progresses. So 1419511025, incidentally.
What
don't you worry.
Performance? They're coming.
I'm just getting there. Top man, top performer of the weekend.
Well, the president of the Yang Hyun Jun Appreciation Society, Mr. H. Keevans of Mogai, will be delighted to hear that Celtic's two goal winger gets my performance of the week. And don't just take my word for it, because he's earned a recall to the South Korea squad for their internationals this week. And Finlay Curtis, he might just have timed his run nicely to get to a World Cup finals.
Well, that leads it on to mine. I'm going to go for Finlay Curtis. Watched the game on Saturday night. I thought he was excellent. I thought fearless, direct, caused Steinwinder all sorts of problems all evening. And I thought he was the best player on the pitch for me, along with probably Tish Bowe and a Kilmarnock jersey. But I've tipped to Finlay Curtis' favour for the obvious reasons that he gets the call up to Scotland. So congratulations, what a weekend.
01419511025. Let's dive straight in. For the umpteenth time this season, how do you feel about the title race now, Kevin in Kilmarnock?
Hi, hello guys, how you doing?
Good, Kevin.
Yeah, I'm a Celtic fan. I'm actually feeling very confident after that weekend, to be honest with you. I think there's a few things just coming into play for Celtic right now. I think we're getting players back maybe in the next few weeks that we've been severely missing. McGregor's apparently back next week. We've got Engels. Callum Osmond might be a big one for us as well. Alistair Johnson, that'll be a good one. I just feel we're hitting form at the right time. I don't know exactly know what the, how many points, but I think we're the most informed team right now. I just that weekend there kind of summed up for me. I just think Hearts, they've lost the last three away games against what were the 9th and 10th or 11th teams in the league. I just think kind of signs are pointing to Celtic right now, to be honest with you.
What's your gut telling you? A big weekend, obviously. How big? How would you quantify it?
My gut tells me that It's an average Celtic team. It's an average Rangers team. And it's a better than average Hearts team. They've each got three games before the split. And I wouldn't really put a great deal of money on any of the three of them getting 9 points from those three games. If you look at the matches that have to come, Hearts, who had a wobble at the weekend, they've got Dundee. And then the last game before the split, they've got Motherwell. Rangers, last game before the split, I've got Falkirk away, who are playing some terrific football. Celtic have to go to Dundee twice. They've already lost at Dens and lost at Tannadice this season. So with each passing match day, there seems to be another twist and turn. And I think this is going to go right to the wire. And I genuinely wouldn't like to say which way it'll finish, because...
So that's not the start of a Hearts major slide or anything for you?
Well, you look at the weekend, they've got Dundee. Now, the one thing you'll say about Hearts this season is when they've had setbacks, you know, when they lost at St Mirren, when they lost 4-2 at Ibrox the other week, they come back and win games. You know, they come back and they beat Falkirk, then they beat Aberdeen at Tynecastle. Their form at Tynecastle has been really good. So it would be a surprise to me if they lost to Dundee at the weekend, but not a huge, you know, not a huge surprise if they dropped a couple of points, because I don't think any of the three that are pushing for this title are an elite team that are just going to steamroll their way through the last eight games of the season.
Andy, I think we said the last two match days, of, let's forget about the cup for a second, they belong to Hearts. You remember that after losing at Ibrox, they got 6 out of 6. Rangers and Celtic dropped points. But, you know, there's no doubt that was a Glasgow-related weekend, the one we've just seen.
It was, and I think going into the weekend, you know, Rangers away in Paisley, granted St Mirren are in poor form, but Rangers haven't won in Paisley in their last three attempts. Celtic at home to Motherwell, who have, I think a lot of people are saying, have been the best footballing side this season. Celtic dealing with a lot of injuries. Hearts going away to Rugby Park. You knew it was three difficult games, and you knew all of them could go either way. I don't think a lot of people would envisage a Rangers and Celtic double, but Hearts being the one that lose, especially given the previous two game weeks have said, like you said. So I think it is a huge weekend for the Glasgow clubs. I felt, I said it last week, that I think if it was a 5-point gap going into the split, I think it was insurmountable. I really did, because I still even believe it now, that I don't think Rangers or Celtic are going to win all five games in the split. So I think now it is that smaller margin going into the games, the last five games of the season. It just makes it even more exciting.
Because you've been all about Hearts title credentials. How much of a dent did your belief in them take at the weekend?
It's took a dent. There's no doubt about it. I'd be lying if I said it didn't. But they're still my favourites. Absolutely. You know, I've had people calling on this show when they lost 4-2 to Rangers, saying that's them. They'll fall away. Once they lost to St Mirren, that's it. They'll fall away. Listen, they've had a disappointing weekend. I think what's potentially more alarming was the performance levels. I thought they were extremely poor, and I think that's the first time for as long as I can remember that either Celtic or Rangers have played first in the game week, mm-hmm. and then all the pressure's been put onto Hearts to see how they deal with it. Celtic got the job done at 3 o'clock, Hearts didn't at 8.
You know who disappointed me at the weekend? Motherwell. Because at 2:05 in this show, Hugh Keevans assured me Motherwell were going to win at Celtic Park.
Oh, so that's why we lost, fault. I was wondering.
You can take his predictions to the bank normally, and it all went wrong.
We'll maybe get to that. Kevin, was there a part of that to give it some seriousness that it was a good opponent that you had at the weekend, in form, lots of praise, you know, a game that it felt like the Celtic crowd were sort of up for and saw it as a big one if they could overcome it?
Definitely, aye. I mean, Roger's right. It's three absolutely terrible teams at the top of the league there. I think Motherwell were really good on Saturday, but if Celtic did play good, maybe the end of the first half, second half, Motherwell nice and tidy, play good football, but I just think Celtic are coming into form right now.
You expect them to take over Hearts sooner rather than later, Kevin?
I would say the next few weeks. Looking at the fixtures though, we've got two really, really hard away games, I'm not going to lie. Hearts, I mean, I'm no disrespect to other teams, but Hearts should be winning their two games at home easily, but it's their away form for me. I'd maybe say the next few weeks I would definitely say Celtic and maybe joint top, maybe top. But I think we'll push on for
you,
now.
You mentioned a couple of names there, Kevin. I think getting Austin Trusty back will be a help. He's served his suspension now, I thought in the cup game at Ibrox I thought he was immense.
Different challenge will be back, because the two that played at the weekend, would you definitely bring Trusty back?
I think Trusty will come back into the team. The other thing I was going to say was Chivanchera has been kind of hit and miss, probably more miss since he came in January. You wonder, I know it's only a penalty in a shootout and a penalty at the weekend. You wonder now if his confidence and self-belief will maybe grow a bit and he could become the centre-forward, because I don't think Maeda is the centre-forward in a minute. I think the three who started the second half, Maeda, Chivanchira and Yang, probably give Celtic as good a chance as any three at the minute.
Well, we've got a good eyewitness in between us that we'll get to in a second, so let's thank Kevin and bring in James. Are you as confident, James? Do you feel this was a weekend that really boosted Celtic's title hopes?
Good evening, gents. Yeah, I think this weekend may turn out to be pivotal. But as a Celtic fan, I've actually called to speak about Motherwell.
Go for it.
So I'm a season ticket holder, have been for years, and game after game we have clubs come in, they will park the bus, they'll park the minibus, they'll do the whole lot. Every time Motherwell, and I would also include Falkirk in this, have come to Celtic Park this season, you have played football. You have made football great to watch. I would, as a neutral, go and watch Motherwell right now. So you're not going to win the league, I don't think. You didn't win at the weekend, but you are winning the game of football and you are just putting that kind of joy and spectacle back into the game that we've really needed for a long time.
Well, it's funny. Let's ask Andy's thoughts, because he was quick to blame Hugh Keevan's prediction as the reason that Motherwell lost, but it could be that you were finally back on the bench.
Maybe
that was where it went
wrong.
I think
that's probably more likely to be honest with you.
What was it like? What did Celtic do well? Motherwell do well? What was the game like?
Well, do you know what? On the face of it, I thought it was a brilliant game. I thought it was a really good game. I thought in the first half, we edged it. I thought we had loads of control. I thought Celtic looked really dangerous in the counter-attack in the first half though, and then I thought Celtic changed their press out of possession in the second half, played with a lot more intensity, made it a lot more difficult for us in the build-up, and I thought they were the better side in the second half. So overall, I think they deserved it. I think there's some big talking points within the game though. In all fairness, I think a lot that the John Beaton and the VAR team get right, but I think there's a major incident in the game that I think they get wrong. So for me, I don't think there's any doubt it has a bearing on it. But over the course of the game, I thought Celtic played really well, in particular that second half.
You think Oxlade-Chamberlain should have been sent off, and that was only 7 minutes on the clock?
I think it's a red card. I think it's very, very similar to the incident that I said it should have been a red card at Pittodrie, with I think it was maybe Olisanya and Kieran Tierney. And I think Oxlade-Chamberlain should have seen red after 7 minutes. And if he didn't see red after seven, he had to have seen red after 35 minutes, where he's foul on Ibrahim Said in the edge of the box. Now, there's been a lot of chat about the other incidents. For me, I think they're all correct. I think it is a penalty and a red card for Manny Longello. And I've seen chat about a potential penalty on Masuanisi or a potential red card on Daiza Maeda. I think the other three, I think the referees get right. But for me, Oxlade-Chamberlain was extremely lucky to stay in the pitch.
I think it's one of those, I said to Andy yesterday, we were discussing it yesterday.
Do you two phone each other away from this show?
Oh, regular contact.
Seriously?
Yeah.
All right, okay, feel a bit left out.
Oh. We're discussing it over morning coffee yesterday before Andy went and did his other job. I think it's one of those, if John Beaton sends Oxlade-Chamberlain off and it goes to VAR, VAR won't overturn it. And if John Beaton books Oxlade-Chamberlain and it goes to VAR, they probably won't overturn it. So the one at the start doesn't offend me too much, but I think he's lucky, the second one. If you're on a booking and you make that challenge and it's deemed to be a foul as it was, I think he's maybe got away with one there, if you know what I mean, Gordon.
James, Andy's hijacked your more general point, so you can feel free to come back in on whatever you want, decisions or the fact that Celtic overcame what you liked in an opponent to get what was potentially a significant win.
Yeah, I would slightly agree to disagree with Andy, perhaps not surprisingly. I think moving forward, you're going to fall out with me here, Gordon, because, looking at that club just now, I think Celtic would be very, very wise to consider your manager as a potential Celtic manager, because the football he brings and the way in which he brings that team together is incredible. I also think that in Elijah Just, you have got an absolute talent. I watched him, the amount of space that he gets himself into off the ball. In terms of my third summer signing, it's a kind of toss up between maybe Gordon Duncan as head of comms or Andy Halliday as a player coach.
Oh, wow. Don't know what would be least popular.
You're the first two, James.
You know what really interested me, James? You're talking the great point you make about Askew being a potential Celtic manager. I know.
Oh, you liked that point,
didn't
you?
We've had a bit of fun in the show because he's gone and watched Celtic a few times lately. Martin O'Neill's comments about Jens Bertel Askew on Friday were fantastic. He started quoting from William Shakespeare's Julius Caesar, Now, I'm not going to write through the full verse because I can't remember it.
Andy does that to you on the phone as well, doesn't he? Quote Shakespeare all the time.
Basically, the point is, he is the hot ticket and he needs to strike while the iron's hot, because there'll be a time in his career where he's not the hot ticket. And Martin has been really impressed with his work, as you have, and I think a lot of Celtic fans have. And this might just be Jens Bertel Askew's time to be Celtic manager next season. Sorry, boys.
Yep, but he's not allowed to comment on that. He's just got himself back in the squad, for goodness sake, don't get him chucked out. Elijah Just, and he scored the goal just week after week, seems to get more and more praise. Give us the insight.
A month ago,
track.
I've said player of the year for me. I think it was, it really was interchangeable up until potentially, you know, January, because I think there was so many players having good seasons. You know, I think Braga and Kizeridis, and a fair Hearts point of view, were having excellent seasons. I think, you know, Masvinicius won two player of the month, Elliot Watts had a lot of praise, but I think Elijah Just's form, in particular over the last probably 4 or 5 months, I think he's been a real standout. And I thought between him and Callum Slattery, I thought they were absolutely excellent at Celtic Park at the weekend. And if you're a Celtic point of view, I agree with Roger. I thought Yang was a constant threat throughout. And I must admit, I was impressed with Benjamin Arthur. I've not obviously seen a lot of him, but I thought he coped with the game really well. I thought he was impressive in a Celtic jersey.
Did you see a bit, to take your Motherwell tracksuit off and put your punditry hat on, you see a bit of kind of maybe a title winning credential there? We accept this is never going to be a vintage Celtic at the moment. Everybody knows that. But you look at the success Motherwell had against them at Celtic Park and Fir Park and so on in the Wilfred Nancy era. Yes, there was the red card and the sending off, some big moments. But do you feel like they did well, essentially, and finished the game really strongly?
Yeah, I think there's been games where, even though they've got over the line in the last minute, a la Dundee, Livingston, I think you could still be critical of Celtic's performance. I don't think it was at the weekend. I've said it so many times, for me, I think Motherwell are the best footballing side in the country. So I don't think there's anything wrong with being slightly on the wrong end of that for 45 minutes, which I thought they were in the first half. But I thought Celtic were really good in the second half. So for me, I thought they were well worthy of the 3 points. Like I said, I think there was a big decision within it that obviously has a bearing on the game. But this wasn't a game where I thought Celtic were lucky to get the 3 points. I thought in the second half they were really dangerous. I thought off the ball they played with so much more intent and intensity they've done over recent weeks. And I thought defensively as well, they restricted a really good attacking football inside to very little in that second 45 minutes.
James, enjoyed some of that call, not so much other bits, but never mind. We'll do it again at some point. That was James in Dunblane. 01419511025. What about the other pieces in this title race jigsaw then? Hearts fans, how disappointing was it? How big a blow do you think it is? Or do you fancy your side to bounce back? And Rangers fans, you gained ground on the Jambos as well. So what did you make of that game in Paisley yesterday? Call us now, we'll speak next.
0141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Andy Halliday and Roger Hanna are here, and we're asking for all of your thoughts on the title race after all changed at the weekend. Hearts stay top, but the gap is cut. Rangers and Celtic both winning, and the top three separated by just 3 points. Let's delve back in with Ross, who's in Pollock. Ross, how big a weekend do you think it was? What's it pointing to now?
How you doing, guys? All right, hope you're well.
Yeah, good.
Yeah,
no, listen, first of all, on Saturday night, Gordon, I went down to Kilmarnock to watch the Kilmarnock Hearts game as a neutral, so I was really impressed with Kilmarnock on Saturday night. I thought they played well, so I thought in terms of that game, I think Kelly have got a right good chance to stay in this league, by the way, if they keep playing that way.
So you've seen Celtic win in the afternoon, you've then seen Hearts lose. Did that all amount to you feeling that you know, it's Celtic's title, or not convinced yet? How would you sum it up?
I think after the weekend, it's in Celtic's hands, I think, now, because I think Hearts are starting to feel the pressure, and I think Saturday night you've seen that, where they go 1-0 behind and they never really offered much to Kilmarnock on Saturday night. So I think with the way Celtic played on Saturday afternoon, I think it's a right good opportunity for Celtic to now kick on, and we keep getting these opportunities, and it's now about Celtic taking this opportunity and just winning the next 8 games. And as I say, I fully believe if Celtic do that, I think we will win the league, but we just need to maintain these opportunities and take them when they come.
Listen, the maddest thing of all this, Ross, is it's in everybody's hands, because with 8 games to go, if any of the 3 of them win all 8 games, they'll be champions. It's as simple as that, and it's a bizarre. We've never seen, certainly for the last 40 odd years, we've never seen a scenario like this before. I can remember sort of the early to mid 80s. It was one where Aberdeen, Celtic and United were all going at it. I think it was maybe 83, the season that United won it. But since then, there's never been three teams going at it, you know, all together. We've got a great weekend again. Hearts, 3 o'clock on Saturday. Rangers, 5:45 on Saturday. Celtic, 12:30 on Sunday. So we'll swing, you know, Hearts have a chance to go a little bit further clear. Rangers get first chance to respond to that. Then Celtic will know, you know, what they need to do. And what they need to do is go to Tannadice and win. But it's going to be fantastic. And you're right to talk up Kilmarnock. Let me tell you, I saw Kilmarnock in a previous game at Falkirk a fortnight ago where they lost 5-1. You would have put money in them going down. They were absolutely appalling. And to turn that round to a way where they can come out and deservedly beat the league leaders, it's a great piece of work by Kelly.
Andy, we always talk about the kind of like momentum, think these things in football that you can't really measure. Everybody can see the league table. What Celtic obviously have potentially at their disposal that the other teams don't, because they just can't, is you know, league winning experience or the experience of Martin O'Neill. We'll never really know exactly how much that is counting for. Mm-hmm. But I feel like if you were a Celtic fan, you would maybe put a lot of the recent results down to that.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm well on board with that. I think a lot of it is down to character and mentality, and like you say, a bit of know-how in these situations, because realistically, what else could you put it down to when you've watched a lot of the games and you watched the Livingston performance and the Dundee performance and the second half against Killie? It's sheer grit and determination to come back and go to the very end. And there's no coincidence why Celtic have scored so many last-minute goals, because no, they go for the three points to the 90th minute. They make teams defend. In all fairness, like I said, I don't think the weekend was that. I thought it was an improved performance. And, you know, we keep talking about the 3 points between the three sides because it is that type. I've just showed my phone buddy there, Roger Hanna, just circling the goal difference between the three. I mean, no. You've got Hearts and Rangers both on 27 and Celtic on 24. So for me, it's not out of the equation whatsoever that the title is won in goal difference come the end of the season.
Can you imagine? Can you imagine? Ross, what have we seen from Celtic in terms of the kind of personnel? Is it just this combined effort at the moment where you accept that, like, nobody's outstanding, nobody's, you know, running away player of the year candidate like you sometimes have? Maybe Chivancher is going to have to come in and score a couple. Yang is unlikely to, you know, blow every team away every single week, but he pops up with a really big performance. Is that what it's going to take, this sort of collective effort a bit between now and the end of the season?
I think it is. I think you're right. I don't think there's anybody in that Celtic team that you'd hang your hat on scoring every week. So I think right now it's a case of Hatate's chipping in, Maida's no scored in a while. Yang seems to come in and out of the team and score. So I think right now we're just kind of grinding at results. But I think in terms of, as I say, this next eight games is going to be crucial. And just what Roger said there, I think if any of them drop points, it's going to keep swinging back and forward between the three of them. But I just think that now, with the way Celtic finished the game on Saturday, I think Martin O'Neill and the team will feel it in terms of how close we are in terms of securing our title. But I think that certainly for me, the game against Rangers and the game against Hearts is going to be crucial. And I think if Celtic come through that, I think we'll be fine. But I just think, as I say, after watching the Hearts game on Saturday night, I think you can generally see that the pressure is now starting to mount on them. And I think it'll be a tester in Hearts. If they were to come through the Celtic game and win, then it's questions, obviously, will then be asked. But I just think, as I say, I think for me, Celtic just need to keep grinding results. And if Celtic go and win 1-0 every week from the end of the season, I don't think any Celtic fan will complain.
Thank you very much to Ross, and it's perfectly placed for us to hand over to Matthew, who's a Hearts fan, because Ross says the pressure is getting to you. Matthew, what do you make of that?
Oh, absolute nonsense. No, there's no pressure. We're not feeling the pressure at all. No, I'm feeling the pressure. I'm hating this, to be honest. I think it's the most stressful thing in my life just now. I've got work stuff. I've got, you know, we're in the process of moving house. None of that compares to how I'm feeling every weekend. And can I just say, before I say my point, hi to Roger, hi Andy. I thought I wanted to ask you, what was your favourite goal in the Andy Halliday derby? Was it the first one off the post and in, or was it the beautiful second one from the edge of the box? They were absolutely tremendous.
Oh, they were both pretty good, Matthew. I've got to answer the first one though, because I don't know if you remember. I just blazed one over the bar 5 minutes before, and I was taking stick for the 5 minutes, so it was a good time to score. Kind of shushed that away crowd and going at half time.
It was beautiful, because I sit in section G, and it was just going bananas. I just wanted to bring that up. It was a great derby.
I take a lot of stick in this show, Matthew, so it's sometimes it's a wee bit nicer, a change of scenery.
It's good to remember that he actually played, Matthew. I'll agree with you.
I covered
that.
The game for Super Scoreboard.
Yes,
I remember it because I actually thought Liam Boyce had hit it. I couldn't believe it was Andy.
Because they looked the same.
Something like that, yeah.
Anyway, Matthew, so you're feeling the pressure. I mean, I didn't think there's anything more stressful than moving house, and you've said this is.
Moving house is easy. I mean, we've had a delay. This is what this club is doing to me this season. Honestly, it's been fantastic. It's been great. I phoned in a couple of weeks ago, actually. This is only the second time I phoned in. I wanted to touch on something that hasn't really been talked about since the weekend that much, purely because it's not Rangers or Celtic. The Braga penalty. I was at the game. I drove through to Kilmarnock for this, right? Now, before I talk about this, you might have talked about it already. There's nothing in the rules that says a player needs to go down when they're fouled in the box. There's nothing in the rules that says that. So, there's clearly contact in the box. And before I say as well, Kilmarnock deserved to win the game. Can I just say that now? They were fully deserving of the victory. I'm not taking that away from them. But this was a pivotal moment in the game. This was, I think they had just scored, if I remember right. And if Hearts, they were stinking on Saturday. It was terrible. It was a really flat performance. Just all there was too many people on like 3 fours out of 10. You can get away with one or two, but there was 7 or 8 at the starting 11 that were just terrible. But this was a big, big moment in the game. And if the penalty's awarded, which it should have been, and Hearts convert it goes 1-1, then you never know. Mm-hmm. You never know. It could have swung the game. It could have swung the momentum. But I think that take that aside. Kilmarnock were fully deserving. They won the 50-50s, won first contact, second contact, headers.
Matthew, see, just quickly, you said you're relatively new to this show. You don't have to skim over a sense of injustice like that. We're more than happy to help you out. let's look at it, because it's such a fascinating one, Andy.
Yeah.
You can totally see Matthew's right, but why should you need to go down to win a penalty? But if he goes down, he gets that penalty, doesn't he?
Yeah.
And round you go.
Well, I agree with Matthew. Matthew, at the top of the show, we do our howler of the weekend, and I went for the officials, and the reason I left out the Claudio Braga incident is because that requires VAR intervention. So that wasn't on the official for me, but I'm 100% with you. I think VAR should have intervened, and I think that's a penalty kick. I'm absolutely positive that Derek McInnes at halftime and at full time is saying to Claudio Braga, why have you not went to floor? You've been impeded. You should have went down, and it's going to be a penalty kick. But do you know what? I love the fact that Claudio Braga didn't. But it's a shame that he's been punished for that, because there's no doubt whatsoever that the contact on his foot has impeded him. So for me, it shouldn't need Claudio Braga to go down. It should have been a penalty kick, and there should be a sense of injustice for Hearts.
It feels like one of these kind of wide-ranging football problems, Roger, because it feels like that's never given anywhere, any league, any level. That doesn't get given unless you go down. And that doesn't feel right. So what is it about that? What does football... By the way, jump in if you disagree. I just feel like we've had this conversation for years now.
You don't get penalties for it. There was not one. The midweek game at Pittodrie, when Celtic went up there and won a couple of weeks ago, was there not one in the last minute when Lyle Cameron was challenged? But I think Hitati just did the corner of the box.
Peter Leaven said he should have gone down.
And he stayed up.
This was more obvious, Braga, wasn't it?
Peter Leaven said at the time, they need to be more streetwise, and that was kind of aimed at Lyle Cameron. In other words, if you feel the contact, just get down. And I don't think, in moments like that, Claudio Braga doesn't have time to think, should I get down or should I try and what should I try and do here? And he's tried to do what he thought was the best thing. He's going to try and get the ball when he can't get the ball. But technically, he's been fouled, but you just don't get them, Gordon. In any area of the park, you just don't get them. You don't give them.
Where do you sit in the notion of pressure that Matthew's talking about? Because we mentioned it before, there are some conditions that are already in place. Celtic are the only ones that can be talked about as having the winning experience, the experienced title winning manager and so on. Celtic Rangers can Celtic can play badly and it's just put down to a bad performance or bad recruitment. But now, if Hearts play badly, it's automatically pressure because they've been top for 23 weeks. So anything Hearts do wrong now, everybody will say it's due to pressure. Is that fair?
I don't think it's fair. Not off of this lone game. Now, if Hearts go and lose to against Dundee at Tynecastle, and then they lose the following week, and then they drop points against Motherwell at Tynecastle, and they go on a 4-game winless run, then I think you probably will be looking at, well, they've been so consistent throughout the season, they've now went on this run at such a crucial stage. Was it just down to the pressure? Now, I did say, I think they were under a different type of pressure going into the game, given Celtic have got the job done at 3 o'clock in a really difficult game. But what I will say, Matthew, is I've watched a lot of Hearts game as well as you have this year, and I've seen Hearts play very, very well, and I've seen Hearts not play so well. When Hearts don't play well, I think they're usually average, but for me, they were poor at the weekend. So I thought it was a really different Hearts performance. I thought they lacked everything they're good at. I don't think they'd done the basics well. I don't think they ran enough. I don't think there was enough intensity and tempo in their game, which is so not like them.
Matthew, all the best with the house move and the title challenge and everything else. That was Matthew and Bonnie Rigg. Let me tell you about this.
Clyde One.
Maybe you want to move house to a particularly big house. How does £650,000 sound? Because that is what is up for grabs on Make Me a Winner, and you can enter by texting yes to 61025. Texts are 250 plus your standard network rate. You can enter at makemeawinner.co.uk, where you will find all the rules there for this network competition, or call 03434 269 340, and the calls are charged at a standard rate. It is over 18s only. Lines close 5 p.m. Friday. Somebody wins the lot, why not give yourself a chance of making it you? Text yes to 61025. Good luck.
Tackle the headlines. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Roger Hanna and Andy Halliday are here at 0141 951 1025. You can tweet us as well, fire messages over. There's an interesting one from Colin, who's tweeted in, Roger, to say, and you'll remember this better than Andy and I, 30 games played at the moment, 3 points separating the top three. Have you seen this?
I saw his tweet at the break.
The 97-98 season.
Forgotten all about that.
30 games played, Celtic top on, and it's the same number of points. Celtic top on 63, Hearts second on 61, Rangers third on 60.
I'd forgotten how Celtic won the league.
Did they?
The end nine in a row. Or the end Rangers hopes of 10 in a row, I should say. I'd forgotten how close Jim Jeffrey's Hearts team took that season.
Did they tail off quickly after that?
They didn't tail off that badly. They won the Scottish Cup final.
No, I mean the league table.
No, I don't think they did. No.
Just, I was curious.
And then they beat, you know, Rangers lost the league to Celtic in the last day. Celtic beat St Johnson. Rangers were at Tannadice. Did, you know, Celtic, I think Larson and Bratback scored. And then the next week, Rangers lost the cup final to Hearts at Celtic Park.
Andy Halliday has placed a bottle of fizzy juice under the desk, and I've kicked it over about four times. I'm going to just sit it somewhere else, because you're not going to be able to drink it for the next.
I didn't want to give free advertising.
Product placement.
If you knock over Hugh Keevan's red wine here, you wouldn't bother.
Let's bring in Gary, who's on the line as a Rangers fan. Gary, what was yesterday all about for you? Just about the 3 points? Are you concerned with performance? Take it away.
Evening, guys. Evening, gents. How are we doing?
Good.
Gary.
Yesterday's performance, where we are in the league just now, yesterday's performance was shambles. We got the goal and got the 3 points, but to be honest with you, I've seen a better game between Millport and Largs. it was like a pre-season friendly. I just don't understand what bringing on the substitutes. But the point I'm trying to make is, I've got another wee point after this, but the point I'm trying to make is that, see, when Kilmarnock came in for Finlay Curtis, right, I would have turned around and said, no, he's not available, but you can take Ant-Man for the rest of the season, because he clearly does not rate him whatsoever. The game against Celtic the following week, he was a perfect person to bring on rather than Gassama. You can't keep playing wrong players in the, when you're in this title race. You can't keep playing wrong players in the position.
What did you make of it yesterday, Andy? Gary's not impressed at all with the performance. The phone lines are open. I'm pretty sure we'll get some to say it doesn't matter, win games at the moment, that's whatever. So give us your overriding feeling on it.
Well, do you know what? It doesn't matter because Rangers have lost, Rangers have done three consecutive away games in the league. So it doesn't matter because this time it wasn't a great performance, but they got the win. But listen, you have to comment on what you've watched, and it was a really poor game. I don't think there was a lot of quality for both sides. What I will say is I think Rangers got back to their best defensively. I think they followed on with a strong performance defensively against Celtic in the Scottish Cup with another one yesterday. I thought the back two of Fernandes and Giga were very, very good again. That being said, Rangers, they just lack so much control in games of football. And I thought in the first half, I thought they had a bit of control without really looking all that threatening at the top end of the pitch. But then in the second half, I think we've seen this movie so many times with Rangers where, yes, the conditions were really, really poor. They were challenging for both teams, but they try and combat the conditions, keep the ball on the floor a wee bit, try and make some passes, try and make some in and run, try and tire them out. But again, the game just turned over both ways. No team could really string any consecutive passes together. And it made it a really, really difficult watch in the second half. But where Rangers, for me, do have any... Well, for Rangers to have any chance of winning this league, they need the continued performance Emmanuel Fernandes and Giga at the back. I thought, again, Fernandes was excellent. And I think Giga has shown, and I think he's justified Danny Rose's decision to include him back in the starting 11. Because I thought, without they two yesterday, I thought St Mirren would have potentially been a lot more threatening, but I thought the two of them were excellent.
They two more composed than the attacking players at times.
And they look more threatening at the top end of the pitch as well. You know, any time that Fernandes gets on the end of things, you think he's going to score. But no, again... No, Yusuf Tchermiti, I think, went back to the kind of, you know, the poorer performance of Yusuf Tchermiti just off the back of winning February Player of the Month. But I thought he was really, really wasteful in his link-up play. Again, didn't look all that convincing when balls fell in at him in the box. And I think Ryan Nadiri, which for me has been really atypical, his performances is, I think everything he does that's positive in the game, again, is outside the box. It's, you know, chasing balls down the channel and making things happen for nothing balls. But again, another game where he doesn't have a shot.
Everything you've just said is correct. Everything Gary said is correct. But let me tell you this. Gordon Duncan in Super Scoreboard sent me to Perth on the weekend. St Johnson won 1-0. Rotten. Simo Vallecari couldn't wipe the smile off his face because we are at what Gordon Duncan calls the business end of the season.
Oh no, I think we declare it after the March international break.
If St Johnson win all their games 1-0, and they're horrible, they'll come up. And if Rangers win all their games 1-0, and they're as horrible as they were yesterday, Rangers will win the league.
But it is a bit more nuanced than that, isn't it? Because it's built around this idea that you won't keep winning if you play like that. Not necessarily Rangers or St Johnson, just anybody. No, that's what it's built
around. And they proved that. They proved that against Livingston. They proved that against Hibs. They proved that against Motherwell.
I know what you mean, but to me, if there was another goal in the game, Rangers would score it. You know, Asgard had the one rightly called off for offside at the end, but they had a couple of breakaways, they had a couple of chances. They looked more likely to score another goal in the game than St Mirren did. It wasn't a smash and grab 1-0. It was nothing like it.
I like Gary's done well to sort of combine a couple of today's talking points. Finlay Curtis is in the Scotland squad. Whether that means he should have stayed at Rangers or not is a different matter, but I wonder what you do make of Rangers' wide areas just now and how much of a concern.
Well, do you know what, Gary? I've spoke to a few people about this over the last couple of days. Finlay Curtis, for me, has absolutely done the right thing by going on loan and being one of the bigger players at Kilmarnock and playing every week because it's the best way to accelerate his development. So I think it's absolutely the right thing. He's in the right place at this moment in time to continue his career. But I made the point today, Rangers have spent... what is it, 16 million on three strikers, and again they don't look as if they're going to be the type of striker that's going to score 15-20 goals a season, if that, but they need much more for their wide players. I take away Mikey Moore because for me, I think he's been a breath of fresh air to watch. I think he's so positive, so direct, tries to make things happen in the final third. But Gassama got an opportunity in the right hand side because Scott Walsh's not done enough when he's played. And I, do you know what? I really felt sorry for Jeddy Gassama. I've had one of the performances, I've had plenty of the performances where nothing you're trying is coming off, whether that's doing more challenging things like taking a man on and trying to put cross into the box, or playing a simple 2-3 yard pass or trying to take a first touch. It was just one of the performances for him.
But then
again, Scott Walsh comes on to try and make a difference. And it's the same thing I've said over the last 4 or 5 weeks. Every time he gets the ball, it's touch, 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 come back, pass it back to the fullback. Whereas Asgard, for me, I thought made a positive introduction. I thought he took it in dangerous areas. He tried to get turned. He tried to play forward. He tried to affect the game in a positive manner. So maybe he's kind of played his way back into the picture, given his cameo.
Thank you, Gary. Let's play this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Come on then, Beat the Pundit time. A new week, a clean slate, a fresh start. The opportunity for you to take down Andy Halliday or Roger Hanna. The lines close at 7, so be quick.
Number 1 for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Andy Halliday and Roger Hanna are here. We're asking your thoughts on the title race at the weekend. Where did it go wrong for you Hearts fans? Are you starting to worry? Celtic fans, Rangers fans, how big a boost have you received? Who's the favourite? All that sort of stuff. What about the Dundee Derby as well? That was quite something. Any other talking points you want to tidy up, please do. And of course, a Scotland squad announced today. It's not often you get too excited about a friendly squad being announced, but the World Cup is not too far away. So what clues, if any, did you pick up from today? Get the calls in and we'll play this first.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Right, it is Beat the Pundit time. Roger and Andy both start on -1. Someone came up to me somewhere recently, I can't actually remember where it was, and said that they thought every pundit should start on -1.
Oof.
Can you imagine the uproar from your teammates that would cause?
Goodness me, that's a bad idea.
How's the table looking?
Good point. I have repeatedly asked for people who've played fewer than 5 games to be removed, but my pleas have been falling on deaf ears, so I'll remove them in my own mind. Incredibly, Marvin is still top.
He's done really well.
But do we just kick him out because he's left us?
Sort of.
Again, it's false because Cammy Bell's only played twice, so I'm discounting that.
How Simon, can Cammy Bell only have played twice?
Yeah, but mostly in at the weekends and stuff, and the coin might not go. Simon Donnelly very much bottom. Yeah, you would have to.
Don't get a win yesterday, Sid?
You would have to say. Let's bring in Stuart, who's in Canvas Lang. How are you, Stuart?
Yeah, I'm good, thanks.
Ever played this before?
I have not, but I've also listened in a few times.
Okay. At the pretty tough school on a Monday, though, is that the way you prefer it?
Why not?
Exactly.
If you're going to play, might as well play the best.
I like Stuart's attitude. If it's the blue side of the coin, it will be Andy Halliday. And if it's the red side of the coin, it will be Roger Hanna. And they both start on -1. And it is
red.
Red for Roger.
Good luck, Stuart.
Okie doke.
Thank you.
Let's put Roger up against Stuart. It is 30 seconds, Stuart. He starts on -1, so just you answer as many as you can, and you're more than welcome to pass and move on if you fancy it, okay?
No worries.
Right, good man. 30 seconds on the clock, and your time starts now. Who's Rangers' top scorer this calendar year in all competitions?
Chamie.
Former Celtic midfielder Olivier Ncham plays for which international team?
Oh, pass.
How many points separate the Scottish Premiership top four?
10.
In what decade did Scotland last play Brazil?
The 90s.
Who are the current holders of the Scottish Challenge Cup?
Airdrie.
Which Scottish player is on loan from Kilmarnock at Esbjerg in Denmark?
Oh, pass.
What's going on? What is going on in there? Can you two hear me? Are you back? No.
Yeah.
Yes.
We are now.
What's wrong? You both like.
I'll let Roger.
There was something going on between you two.
We were enjoying the Eurythmics on Greatest Hits Radio, and it dropped for a split second. And I heard
I heard you
saying, "How many points?"
Aye. And then, generally didn't get.
And then Annie Lennox burst back onto her, the airwaves.
Somebody in that production office has had a bad weekend, though. Some
there was no
cheeky questions. No, I don't mean that. I'm saying there's some cheeky questions in there.
All right. Okay.
Turn over your league table for me, Andy Halliday. Don't let him see that. 30 seconds, Roger Hanna. Your time starts now. Who's Rangers' top scorer this calendar year in all competitions?
Sure, matey.
Former Celtic midfielder Olivier Ncham plays for which international team?
Ivory Coast.
How many points separate the Scottish Premiership top four?
Oh, 10.
In what decade did Scotland last play Brazil?
In the 2010s.
Who are the current holders of the Scottish Challenge Cup?
Livingston.
Which Scottish player is on loan from Kilmarnock at Esbjerg in Denmark?
Robbie McCrory.
Okay, Stuart, what do you think?
I think he's done me. Just that one came with there, McCrory.
It's a tricky one. Let's go through them and find out. So this year, 2026, it is Yusuf Chirmiti, Rangers top scorer, all competitions, 7. Tavernier and Miovski have got 5. Moore's got 3. So you both got it. Roger Hannah starts on -1. So Stuart has a narrow lead. Disappointed in you here.
I know, I got it wrong.
Cameroon for yeah. Olivier and Cham. I think he was France, like up to under 21 level, and then Cameroon. So still a narrow lead for Stuart in Cambus Lang. He keeps it because there are 10 points to separate the Premiership top four. And at this point, Stuart, I thought you had him because you answered that one way more convincingly than he did. However, Scotland last played Brazil in the 2010s. Was it 2011?
You know how I remember it?
I know.
Mark Wilson's half a cap.
No. No. No, 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 no.
Was
no,
he
in
the bench
no.
and didn't get on that one?
This is the one where he swapped after the game, swapped shirts with Dani Alves and they sent it back.
That was it. That was it. But he didn't get on, did he?
No.
That was right.
It says on my sheet it was at Hampden. It was the Emirates, wasn't it?
It was at
the Emirates. So yeah, Mark Wilson tried to swap shirts and they sent it back. It's not great. Roger Hannah level. Then, if you like, the current holders of the Challenge Cup is Livingston. They beat Queen's Park in the final
5-0
back last March. So Roger Hannah takes the lead just at the crucial time and adds a bit of gloss. Stuart, you knew this in the end. Esbjerg of Denmark, Robbie McCrory is there. So that was not bad at all. You had him worried, Stuart. I could see the look in his face.
You're absolutely right.
Came through in the end. Your Esbjerg knowledge.
Stuart would have beat me.
Seriously? Mm-hmm. You struggling there? I thought they were tough.
I didn't know Brazil. I guess not. He's in there. I didn't know Esbjerg for
tough. Very tough indeed. Who's your team, Stuart?
Rangers.
Okay, so you did gain at the weekend as well, of course. What's the feeling now on the title race?
It's there to be won, I think. It's there to be won. I said to some of my pals, I've got to take another games like that if it meant we win the league. Yeah, I think right now it's about getting 3 points. But yeah, definitely the right side of the midfield is a concern. No, there's just nobody seems to be stepping up in there at all.
It's funny the conclusions you sort of jump to. I think we're all guilty of it, where Celtic are second, obviously, and Rangers are third, so that you feel like there's an advantage there to Celtic. Yeah. I think maybe you're swayed a bit by the second half of the league game and then the fact that Celtic win the cup game, so they've got that feel good. And you maybe forget a little bit that it's 1 point. I mean, it's so, so tight. Like, I feel if you polled X amount of neutral fans, they would say sort of Celtic are in the driving seat. And they would be in the fact that it's second versus third. But 1 point is absolutely nothing. Yeah. I wonder how much all the other stuff's playing part of that.
To use your phrase, recency bias will swing in Celtic's way because they have won the last four or five league titles. Is it four league titles have won? So there's a lot of players in that squad are, you know, attuned to what you need to do to win a league title.
But is that selective, that though? Because what they don't know is how to come from third or second in March.
Listen, it's a perfectly valid point. I just, I couldn't call how this is going to go. I mean, Rangers, Celtic and Hearts fans on, and they're all positive about their team's chances.
I think what tips it more in my favour, in Celtic's favour, sorry, is Rangers having to go to Celtic Park and having to go to Tynecastle on the split. So yes, the recency bias, but I think the fixtures, three away
best
games,
away record in the league.
I mean, not over the last month, it's not been, that's for sure. And this has been the most important, the business end of the season, as you called it.
Are you worried about that right side, Stuart? Is that enough to potentially stop you from winning the league, or you're not going that far?
I don't think it'll be enough to stop it. It's just the players that are there, just there's none of them stepping up to make that position their own. I mean, you've got Antman, you've got Skovolsen, Gassama. All three of them have tried and they're just not performing at all. They're just not grasping it. But I mean, it's, as I say, it's there to be won. I think by the time it gets to the split, I think we'll know a lot more where it's maybe going to go. There's a lot of points still to be won, a lot of points to be dropped. We play before Celtic at the weekend, so potentially we could jump above them, and that puts the pressure back on them.
Just as an aside, Andy, mentioning that right hand side, asked you a couple of weeks ago, are we now, are we almost in unthinkable territory that Scott Olsen does enough to justify 9 million between now and the end of the season?
It would need to be the player of the month for April and May.
What are we talking, three hat tricks?
I think he would
give
have
me,
to
give me something decisive that, that changes.
Well, he's
the
only
mind.
Scored one goal so far. I think he's got two assists. I think he would need to get to at least a five mark in goals, and certainly probably an R cup assist within that as well. Do you know what he has to do? He has to make the difference in games, because that's what he's been brought in for. And especially if you're going to be shelling out £9 million to make it a permanent transfer, he has to prove that he's a match winner. You know, I talked about Kasama, who I thought had a really poor day. Like I said, I don't think he's getting it right. But you know what? One thing I will defend with Kasama is I always think he tries to make an impact. He'll try to beat a defender. He'll try to make a difference in the final third. My big thing about Scott Olsen is there doesn't look like a real urgency to make a difference. It's just, it looks all too safe, all too simple at the minute.
I don't think there's any chance of signing him. He's made no impact whatsoever. And we've got to the stage now, 8 games to go. There is a legitimate case for Ant-Man or Bajrami starting ahead of him, or Asgard coming into the team, or changing things around, because
not to the same extent. Someone's bound to phone in and say you're wrong because he did more prior to this, which I do accept. But the sort of Adam Ida case where you score the winner in the cup final, Rangers aren't in the cup, but you know, gets a double on the final day to wrap up the title. Does that do strange things to your decision making process?
Listen, if it's helicopter Saturday
and he's the pilot,
and he scores the winner in,
oh, you're signing him all day,
19 million. In the 97th minute at Tynecastle, then there might be a case, there might be a groundswell of popular opinion that Rangers have to sign him. But that seems highly unlikely at the minute, Gordon.
Thank you very much to Stuart. Let's stick in the phones and see what else we've got. Franny's in Bells Hill. Take it away, Franny.
How you doing, boys?
Good, how are you?
No bad. I was coming out to slag Andy, but Andy's actually, he's actually stuck up and says it was a sending off and a penalty.
I slag him anyway.
I've got other points about John Beaton, the referee. I could call him something else, but I'll not call him it. He's only gave one penalty to Celtic in the last 9 years before VAR. VAR was introduced in 2021, gave Celtic 6 penalties since then. 5 of them were recommended by VAR. Without VAR, Beaton has pointed the spot twice to Celtic penalty in the last 14 years. Come on now. Is that an act? Should you be a referee?
I would be much more concerned if you didn't end up getting the penalty.
Yeah.
I've always thought like VAR's this is brilliant, where people blame the ref if they want, or they blame the VAR if they want, depending who that person is. John Beaton still has to go to the monitor at Ibrox under that scrutiny and intensity, yeah, and give the penalty to Celtic.
And the same at Celtic Park on Saturday, and give the penalty to Celtic after not sending off Alec Oxlade-Chamberlain.
If John Beaton is like as against Celtic as you're alleging, he would have sent Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain off, because there's a case to say that any ref should have sent him off.
Andy says that, so I agree with him there. He should have been sent off. I agree with that.
That's what I'm saying then. If there was some sort of bias against Celtic from the referee at the weekend,
no.
Then he definitely would have been sent off.
The point I was trying to make is, have you seen the position of John Beaton with the Maeda penalty in the sending off?
Yeah.
Have you seen the position of him?
Mm-hmm.
He's looking straight at it. So how did they miss it? That's what I'm asking. How did they have to go to VAR for them to give it, for them to tell him to look at it, and he was looking straight at it? That's not, you see what Specsavers, come on now.
But that,
looking at it, the television and the naked eye sees them straight at it.
But that's what I'm saying. If it was anything other than a miscalculation, an error in judgment, if it was anything more sinister as that, which is clearly what the original allegation is, you'd definitely send off Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain, because he gives you an opportunity. But anyway, stick to the incident that Franny wants. You actually agree, if you like, you understand the sending off and the penalty.
Yeah, I think it is. I think it's a penalty kick. And the reason I think it's a red card is because Callum Ward's out his goal. I think Dyson Maeda, if not impeded, is heading it into an empty net. So you can't say it's not a goal scoring opportunity. And I think, given that the corner, I mean, it's literally directly landing on Dyson Maeda's head. If it's landing 6 yards in front, 6 yards behind, I don't think it'll be given with the area the delivery's in. But yeah, I don't think there can be any complaints. I think it is a penalty.
It's a penalty in the red card. I mean, I was surprised. I watched the Thistle game at Capello on Friday night, and there was a red card in the first half. Ruben Lopata White shoving.
I think that was correct.
Yeah, of course it was correct.
All right, sorry, I thought
because you were the two of them, the defender isn't making a genuine challenge for the ball.
And that's simply, the distinction, isn't it? For anyone who's
simply trying to impede the
double jeopardy
opponent
thing. Yeah. You think we've done away with that, but only in the event that a genuine attempt to play the ball.
Yeah, and you know, if he's sliding in, trying to stop Dyson getting to the ball, you know, it's only a yellow card. He made no attempt to get to the ball. It's one of the things that infuriates me about defenders. A lot of the time now, in these scuffles they have at set pieces, the defender is only interested in the attack and he's not interested in the ball. If Longuello had been interested in the ball, he's bigger than Maida. He might be able to head it away.
See, on Franny's core point, well, not the kind of John Beaton personal bit aside, this notion of, you know, shouldn't have to go to the monitor, that's terrible that they had to go to the monitor. I think sometimes there is, you know, there is a bit of truth in that. But see in a penalty box when people are pushing and shoving and you maybe don't quite know who's held who first or if they're both at it, is it not palatable in those situations where you get a look at the VAR and then that helps?
I think the worry sometimes is because of the clear and obvious stigma, I'd say.
That then you don't get it.
That you don't get it. So if you don't get it, you know, they'll look at it and say, is it a clear enough and obvious error to overturn it?
No, by the way, I'm not saying you like choose to just
wait. No, 100%, 100%. But listen, I agree with Franny. I think John Beaton's in a good enough position to see it. It's one of them, like he says, there's so much going on at a corner, there's so many bodies in and around the ball, so maybe he's just missed that one on that occasion, but I do think he should see it in real time.
The important thing is you get to the right decision, and the officials got to the right decision. It was a penalty, it was a red card, and it's not even 10% of the way to how bad the penalty call at Easter Road was.
Oh my lord.
So without VAR, Livy would have had to Hibs would have had to would have had to just take that on the chin.
Yeah,
that's the poorest decision this season. It's got to be said.
Can you imagine the manager of Livingston?
Well, what
had
else
that
is
not been reversed?
I'm not a huge fan, but can you imagine no VAR for that one?
Oh, it was again. That's just whatever it is. I don't know, a rush of blood, a momentary lapse where you think there's no touching. It has to be that, doesn't it? I mean, there's no way. There's no other explanation.
We were on the show on Saturday, and Fraser Wishart said,
"Ah, but he knows his stuff."
Apparently, the Hibs. But it will be overturned because there's never a penalty in a million years.
Remind us of your checklist. You don't feel aggrieved at the penalty and red card. That's fine.
I think it's a correct decision. I think Oxlade-Chamberlain should have been sent off. I don't think Dyson Meadows is a red card, and I don't think Maswini sees a penalty.
So he's a very fair man, is Andy Halliday. Never let it be said otherwise. Franny, thank you very much for calling us tonight. That was Franny in Bells Hill. What about that Scotland squad today? Finlay Curtis is in. What do you make of that? Does that surprise you? A few other regulars in there. Of course, there are injuries heading into the World Cup. Give us a call. We'll speak to you next.
Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Andy Halliday and Roger Hanna are here. 0141 951 1025. Before we take some calls, Scott wants to talk about the Scotland squad. Let me give you this question.
The full-time teaser with Arcaplan Glasgow. Planning permission and building warrant drawings for home extension, conversion or renovation.
Michael in East Kilbride wants to talk about the Six Nations. Only kinda, we'll let him away with it. He says, after France won the Six Nations, can you name the nine French players with 100 or more top flight appearances in Scotland since 95? So after France won the Six Nations, can you name the nine French players with 100 or more Scottish top flight appearances since 95? Give me a couple to kick us off, please, if you can. Or maybe you can't.
Audrey Edward.
Yes, 106.
Oh, I wouldn't have thought you'd have had that.
Dean, many. Yeah. Got a tricky list.
Gilles Roussy.
Yep. He made his debut in 95, so he gets in. 132 appearances for Hearts. One more guess and we'll move on.
We'll stick with that Hearts team. Stefan Adam.
Yes.
Oh, he must be.
108. So only sneaks in. Right, let's go to the Scotland squad. If you've not seen it today, we mentioned it earlier, everything is more exciting, more heightened by the fact that this is a World Cup round the corner. So it's not just any friendly. You're looking at, are there any clues there? Are there people making a late play for the squad? Are there people being left out, as an example? Well, Steve Clark named his squad today, and I'll very quickly maybe fly through it. There are obviously issues in goals. Craig Gordon's injured, so Bain, Gunn and Kelly stay in. The usual defence, if you like: Hanley, Hendry, McKenna, Andy Robertson, John Souter, Kieran Tierney. Anthony Ralston's in, not playing a lot for Celtic at the moment, but he's in. And the return, first time in a good while, from Nathan Patterson, who's back in about the fold at Everton. Ross McCrory, Bristol City, in as a right back option. Dom Hayam of Wrexham, he's been in squads before, actually played, came on, didn't he, that, in, that day in Oslo when Kenny McLean popped up in there as well. As for the midfield, it's really the usual: Christy Ferguson, Gilmore, McGinn, McLean, McTominay, Lennon Miller and Andy Irving in there. Shea Adams, Lyndon Dykes, George Hurst, Tommy Conway, the strikers, because no Lauren Shankland at the moment. And Finlay Curtis, that is the headline, I think we would all agree there. So get your calls in if you so wish. I think I can see some already lined up. Scott's in Cambuslang, you take it away, Scott.
Hi Gordon, how you doing, mate? All right.
Good. What are you thinking about that squad?
Oh, the guys are used to, Andy.
Nice, Scott. Good, right? Scott, how are you?
Listen, before I go, Gordon, what happened to your team in Saturday, mate? No, I'm going or anything, but anyway, what happened to you? You know, come on. You know, as two wins, as two defeats in a row, do you think it's gone now? Do you think the league's gone?
Oh, all? Yeah, I think it's pretty obvious, Scott. It's not going to make up that point for now, is it, are they?
Stranger things have happened, Gordon. I wouldn't rule it out. I mean, stranger things. I think they've got a lot to say in the eight games left, to be honest. So I would never say never and all that, Gordon.
Yeah, we'll see.
Right, so the reason I'm phoning up, see, I was obviously seeing the Scotland squad, right? And I think the young boy, I can't remember his name, the boy for Falkirk who's been scored a hat-trick a couple of weeks ago, scored a couple of...
Barney Stewart.
Why, you know, we are not really blessed with really good strikers who scores on a regular basis, right? So why no give the boy a chance? You know, he's red hot at the moment, and you don't know until you try. I really think the boy should have been put in, to be honest.
Roger, we touched on it at the weekend. Is that a fair point? Is it too early? What's your take? Did you expect to see Barney Stewart in?
No, I didn't. Listen, Jay Adams is going to go. Lyndon Dykes will go. Lauren Shankland, when fit, will go. I think George Hurst is probably nailed on as well. If you were talking about a fifth striker, I actually thought Kieran Bowie might have been in the squad. He got his first goal in Serie A 10 days ago or so. But Steve Clark's gone with Tommy Conway. One has been in before. He went to the Euros a couple of years ago in the squad. Tommy Conway, he's known to Steve Clark. He's playing at a higher level than Barney Stewart. Middlesbrough, I think, second in the Championship. Good chance of getting in the English Premier League.
I think I checked them all today, because, you know, to see the kind of form and stuff. He's got 5 goals in the English Championship since the turn of the year. I think that's probably not bad, is it? It's kind of okay. It's similarly, George Hurst.
He's got three
in the last month.
I do think Barney Stewart's time will come. Wouldn't surprise me if he was in the 21 squad tomorrow morning when Scott Gemmell names it. I hope
he's still eligible, is he? He will be, I think.
That's a very good
point. That would be a real sort of Gordon DL-ism if you've tipped him to get in a squad and he's too old. He was in it previously, so I think not too long ago, so I think he might be safe.
Listen, he's a fabulous young player. So I'm getting a couple of goals against Kilmarnock in the last home game. I thought he took his goal really well at Pittodrie late in the game. Planting the header back across Dimitar Mitov and inside the far post. He just gets better and better and better. He scored 16 goals this season between Falkirk and Dunfermline. And for a lad who about 2 years ago was playing for Heriot Watt University.
A year and a half, come on, let's keep the story as dramatic as we can.
I think they signed him in the October, so that'll be right. It would be 18 months ago, and he couldn't play until January. His rate of development is astonishing. And a lot of credit is due to John McGlynn for that.
Andy, I could not love this. It's the only thing that would make me love the story more is if he got a Scotland call-up. He's got 8 Falkirk goals in the last 2 months. Mm-hmm. 21, as Roger says, Heriot Watt University a year and a half ago. Does that amount to should be in the Scotland squad? Or is it about not getting carried away and a wee bit of patience?
I'm going to say a wee bit of patience. I agree with Roger. I think his time will come. I think the difficult thing for Barney Stewart is there's still a certain Lauren Shankland to return to fitness. So for me, there's no any doubt whatsoever that he's going to be making it. He's went to that World Cup squad. But what I will say is, I've watched him loads this year. His trajectory for what has been university football to now in 18 months has been it's been remarkable. It really is. And watching him, I don't know if you agree, Roger, I don't really see a weakness in his game. Yeah. He works ever so hard. His link-up play is really good. He's tenacious. He's a finisher. He can score goals with one touch. He can score goals with his head. So I think he is a really impressive player. I actually think he's probably a Falkirk teammate of his that might be slightly more disappointed that he's not found his way in the squad. I think Calvin Miller's had a fantastic season for Falkirk, I really do. And given there's no Ben Doak, given you're hoping there was going to be one or two wingers added into the squad, I thought Calvin Miller maybe had an outside shout. So, but his time could come as well.
You'd just go for it, Scott. You think get Barney Stewart in and see what he can do.
That he should be going to the World Cup or anything. I'm just saying, you know,
this squad.
He should be in this squad. Show him what he can do. You know, give him the confidence. You know, and then obviously, he knows the structure of, you know, the Scotland setup and whatever else. And when time comes when needed, you know, then he's been settled in there. I know it's only one game, but you can only try it. You know, because obviously the strikers that we've got, they're not really prolific, are they? You know, let's face it. You know, and as you say, Gordon, he's bagged 8 goals in 2 months, and he's red hot just now. Do you know what I mean? His confidence will be sky high. You know, it was just obviously to give him a wee bit of a chance. Sure. You know, and a great manager turned and he said, doesn't matter what age you are, if you've got the talent, then prove it. You know, give him a chance, give the boy a chance. That's all I'm trying to say.
I don't think it'll be his age, Roger, because we're going to get onto another name. I can see phone lines wanting to discuss that as well. So I don't think it's age specific. It will just be whether it is too early, whether it's just not quite one that Steve Clarke's ready to push the button on. It's a shame they don't train at Orium anymore, Scotland, because he'd have been right at home. He could have showed the other boys around.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's an awkward time as well. We're going to a World Cup. Steve Clarke probably knows, I'm going to say 23 of the 26 that will go, 22 or 23 if they're fit. There are not many places up for grabs. I think there will be a fifth striker. I've always thought, as we say, Dykes, Adams, Shanklin and Hurst. So there'll be one more striker. I thought maybe Bowie, looks as if it's going to be Tommy Conway this time. As we say, went to the Euros the last time. But Barney Stewart's time will come. I think it's just come too. This squad has just come too early for him, I think.
Thank you very much to Scott on the line. I mentioned the headline call-up is Finlay Curtis. I think everyone agrees with that. So Michael's a Kilmarnock fan, well placed to give us the insight. Michael, take it away.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, on you go.
Yeah, the Finlay Curtis call-up has been a bit of a surprise to me. However, he's been a breath of fresh air since he came to Kilmarnock. He's an all-football man, so you'll know what I mean by this. There's just something he brings to the park that lifts every day, lifts the crowd, lifts the rest of the team. I think he was playing right-back in one of his first games, and he had maybe, I reckon he had a fist for the goal, and he had about 10 crosses into the box. But I will add that I'm absolutely astounded that he's at Rugby Park and not getting a game for Rangers. But it's refreshing to see somebody of, in my opinion, his quality at his age getting called into the Scotland squad. Will he go to the World Cup? We don't know. I just don't think Steve Clarke's the sort of man that will be calling somebody up who's not on his mind for it anyway. So it's really refreshing to see. And I know the last caller was talking about the boy at Falkirk. I can't overly comment on Falkirk players. I've not seen a lot of them, but it was, I just think it's a massive part of how we're performing. Players like Finlay Curtis coming in with the energy that he's got, the desire to get on the ball, to make things happen, the willingness to play in any position. As I said, he played it right back in a game as well. Didn't let it stumble him in any way. He just got on with it, and he was really progressive with the ball. So again, I'm absolutely delighted he's at Rugby Park. I know he won't be there for much longer than the end of the season, but I think he could be a key factor in us not being in that 11th place come the end of the season.
It's a really interesting call-up, Roger, because, and I accept maybe Steve Clarke will never go far enough for some people, and I'm sure we'll get on to some of the names, but there's always an accusation that, you know, doesn't kind of try new players or whatever, or doesn't try young players, or doesn't try players who play in Scotland. Over every single one of those boxes, yeah, sort of dispels that. Finlay Curtis is 19, it's his first senior season really. He's on loan at Kilmarnock. Barely any under 21 football for Scotland, I don't think, either. Did you see that coming?
I don't want to be wise after the event, but yes, I did, because...
Oh, here he goes.
I'll explain exactly why. That Super Sunday a few weeks back when Kilmarnock played Celtic and then Rangers played Hearts, Steve Clarke was actually in the Sky studio watching the two games, and he was purring over the performance of Finlay Curtis. And at a time when Ben Doak isn't yet back playing for Bournemouth, or you said to me he was on the bench at the weekend, but he hasn't had any minutes... And at a time when Harvey Barnes has rejected the chance to come to the squad, Steve Clarke was keen to add somebody with a little bit of an X factor, mm-hmm. somebody a bit different, somebody with a bit more pace, with a bit more creativity, something that he doesn't have elsewhere in his squad. And if you weren't, I know you made the point for Calvin Miller there, Andy, but if you're not picking Finlay Curtis, who are you picking to bring that X factor in this squad? So I really did think they'll have a chance. Again, I think the clincher was the way he played against Hearts at the weekend.
Steve Clarke not there on Saturday night as well, though.
Yeah.
That can't have done any harm, and they freshened the memory. What did you make of it when you heard that today?
I was surprised, I must admit. And I agree with Roger. You thought someone from the outside, shall we say, that's not been called up in the past had a right good chance, given there's no Ben Doak. We already lack options in that area of the pitch. And I couldn't quite put my finger on who that person was going to be, but pleasantly surprised when I seen it was Finlay Curtis. I think over the piece he has had a good season. I thought he started the season ever so well for Rangers, found himself in a really unfortunate position to me that never got a run in the team, given that players that were playing in his position didn't really grasp the jersey. But I thought he'd done the right thing by making sure he got a loan for his development in January, and I think he's done ever so well for Kilmarnock since he's got in. So I think it's been a great chapter to add to your story of the season so far.
I actually feel like I think he's shown probably how good he is by going to Kilmarnock.
Yeah.
Roger, that's, you know, it should be easier to flourish in a Rangers team, particularly you're playing at Ibrox, more of the ball, whatever. And I know they were struggling at the start of the season, but it feels like he's kind of shown how good he is by going out.
And Michael will tell you, he started every game, and he did start at right back one game. He started at centre forward. He's played in the right, he's played in the left. Neil McCann and Billy Dodge, who had worked with him at Rangers this time last year, have placed an immense amount of trust in the lad. You know, Kilmarnock are struggling. Kilmarnock are still in the relegation playoff spot. It was a gamble by them bringing in a 19-year-old kid with limited experience, but they've placed a lot of faith in him, and they've been rewarded with really good performances from him. And, you know, I think he'll go back to Rangers next season and flourish. He might flourish with Scotland in the next few months.
Thank you, Michael. Let's hear what Steve Clarke had to say on that call-up.
Some players who I feel I need to have a look at in the squad, in terms of a lot can change over the next 10 weeks before you pick your final squad. So injuries, hopefully no big significant injuries, but it can happen. It's happened to us before, so we have to be ready to cover all the bases. I like him. He's quick, he's direct, he asks defenders to defend, so it's something a little bit different. Obviously the impact that Ben Gannon Doak had in the squad, I know certainly the media had a big impact. He had a big impact with the Scottish public, because he's something a little bit different, and Finlay can hopefully give us something similar. Not, he's not exactly the same type of player as Ben, but something similar. And like I said, you've always got to be looking ahead, and whether it's for me or the next head coach, you've got to try and gather players that are going to get a little bit of experience in and around the squad. Came into the Rangers team, I liked him. I thought he was quite direct, tries to make things happen. He's just another young one. Everybody keeps going on about me. I don't evolve the squad or change the squad, but there is a natural evolution to any group of players. I've always tried to introduce young players when I feel it's the right time to introduce them, and Finlay fits into that category at this moment in time.
Good time to give us a call. Any other names you would have had in, any others that you wouldn't, and so on. You know the drill on Scotland Squad Day. You tend to pick the one player you don't like, complain that he's not in it, pick a player that you do like, complain that, you know the way it works, the dance that we do with it. But keep the calls coming on 01419511025. After France won the Six Nations, can you name 9 French players with 100 or more Scottish top flight appearances since 95? You've got Gilles Rousset, Odson Edouard, Stéphane Adam,
Frank Swasey.
Nope. Oof, not enough.
Stephen May.
Yes. One more guess.
I'm toiling.
Okay, we'll get the rest. Oh, go on then.
Didi Agad.
Yep. We'll get the rest of the answers when we return.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 01419511025.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Into the final part where we try and bite off quite a bit. We'll take more calls if we can. We'll elaborate a bit more on that Scotland squad, tidy up anything we think we've missed from the weekend, get the teaser to tidy as well. So lots happening. The question sent in by Michael and East Kilbride was, after France won the Six Nations, who are the nine French players with 100 or more Scottish top flight appearances since 1995? You've got Gilles Rousset, Didier Agat, Stéphane Mahé, Odson Edouard and Stéphane Adam, which means four to get. And Andy Halliday, for the first time in ages, is struggling.
Nah, I'm proper struggling here.
What about Freddy Dindaloo?
He is top of the tree with 178 Kilmarnock appearances.
I even heard him.
Seriously?
No, honestly, I've no.
Really? Centre half for Kelly.
Disappointed in you.
Right, I'm going to rattle through a few right, that quick. I'm not convinced. Moussa Dembélé?
No.
Christopher Julien?
No.
I mean, we could all just say French players.
Go on then. Give it a go.
Honestly, I know Rangers have none.
There is one who is still in the league.
Jerome Prior?
No. Hundreds a lot.
And exactly.
No.
Or a current player in the list?
Yes.
I was just going to rattle through some old. I mean, Hemdani?
No.
Darshville?
Nope.
I've told you Rangers have got none.
Clement?
Rangers have got none. Listen to your man.
Okay, okay. There's one still in the
league. I know there's Hearts. There has to be Hearts. They've had loads of French.
Correct. There is one who's played for Hearts. Anyway, listen, we'll get back to that. Before we tidy up the weekend, let's pick up where we left off before the break. What else encourages or worries you or angers you or whatever from the Scotland squad? What else needs discussed if we've spoken about Finlay Curtis?
I would like to have seen a couple of opportunities given to a couple of certain players, should we say. I'm going to go Craig Halkett. I think Grant Hanley, I think, I don't think he's had a great season for Hibs, but I completely get the notion of he's done so much for Scotland. What has he got? 60 caps or whatever it is. I think he's been a huge part of this qualification process, but I think given he's not played a game since, what was it, second week of February, maybe, and I think Craig Halkett's arguably
first day of February.
I think Craig Halkett's arguably been the best centre half in the league this season. So I would like to have seen him or Stephen Welsh given the opportunity in the squad.
That's an interesting one, Roger, isn't it? Because like people need to probably park some of their feelings about this notion about banging form at the time. If Grant Hanley's fit, he'll go to the World Cup.
Of course, he
played a key part in Scotland getting there.
66 caps for Scotland,
and he'll go right. So whether you like that or not, that there's a kind of reality to that. But he's not been in any of Hibs' last six squads at all. So I just even wondered about the timing, or is he best left at home to recover more? Are you surprised at that one on that basis?
I think he's probably senior enough now that Steve Clark will have a grown-up conversation with him to say, listen, how are you? Do you want to come and train? Are you fit to play? Can we give you half an hour in the second game? Do you want to just, you know, come along and join the squad? You might find, you know, that latterly it was Souter and McKenna that was the centre half pairing, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So you might find it Souter and McKenna in one game, and he might give Dominic Higham and Jack Henry the other game. We don't know, and you know Hanley's not actually involved.
Let's fly through the departments. What about Dominic Higham? Because he probably is guilty of, if we're being honest, he's not in Scottish football, so people maybe don't watch him that much. But credentials wise, is he?
Well, listen, he's playing for FC Hollywood at Wrexham under Ryan Reynolds' money. He's doing well, played well against Chelsea last week. They're a big win at the weekend, Friday night against Swansea in the Welsh Derby, that cements them in sixth place. They're in the playoffs. They could go into the Premier League, a bit like Tommy Conway at Middlesbrough. So he's playing at a high level. I think that's making him attractive to Steve Clark.
Anything else? Right back's always an interesting one, because Ralston's not playing at all, really, for Celtic. Aaron Hickey's not in the squad, though. Aaron Hickey will come back in when fit. Nathan Patterson's in, Ross McCrory's in.
Yeah, well, that was my next one. Yeah, you look at the squad. I'm imagining we're going to be sticking with the 4-3-3 that served us pretty well. It only really is Finlay Curtis that's your recognised winger within it. Yes, John McGinn's played there a lot for us, but I look at Anthony Ralston as a third right back in the squad. He's not played for Celtic for a long period of time, and he comes off the bench.
Oh no, sorry, I'm forgetting Hickey's not in this one yet.
Obviously he's not played for Celtic for a long period of time. Yes, he comes off at the bench at the weekend. But no, I found myself agreeing with Steve Clark. He says you don't know what's going to happen from now to the World Cup. There could be injuries. So that's for me. I thought that was an opportunity to not take Hanley, not take Ralston. Yes, they might make your final squad in the summer, but given a couple of opportunities elsewhere, let's see how they fare.
there will be injuries. You know, you look at the Euros the last day, I think Kenny McLean and Lyndon Dykes missed out at the last minute, didn't they? It was the same in the previous Euros. You know, the last squad, the likes of Lewis Morgan was in the last Scotland squad at the Euros. Previous Euros, the likes of David Turnbull was in the squad. So there will be people who make a late run and replace people who get injured between now and then.
Where do you sit in the sort of Hearts are doing really well? Should more, any of their players have been considered Andy's Motherwell teammates?
I think there's an argument that Halkett should have been in this time instead of Hanley, because Hanley hasn't played a wee while. He doesn't need Hanley to have two games to impress to go to the World Cup. He's going to the World Cup.
So you're
anyway.
Not saying take Halkett to the World Cup over Hanley, you're saying call him up just now.
Yeah, and give him the opportunity to impress, because he might impress you. And, you know, touch wood, you're not losing a centre-half, but if you were to lose Hanley or Henry or Souter or McKenna, it would allow you to know a bit more about Craig Halkett before making a decision.
Anything else? It jumps out either way.
From the squad? I think the big thing is that Scott Bain's the only goalkeeper that's playing regularly. You know, Angus Gunn has found himself as the number one for a short spell. Craig Gordon comes back, done what he done, has that massive save against Dundee at Dens Park. He feels as if it's now his jersey going into the World Cup. He's injured. So I think that goalkeeping position is obviously an interesting one going into this.
Is John McCracken about unlucky after his heroics yesterday?
No. I can only just be honest. I don't think so.
I think
John McCracken's made some high-profile errors over
well
the last
two
month or two. He's had a couple of great games.
Most saves of all the goalies in the Premiership, I think.
Busier?
Possibly.
I'm just being honest. I don't think he's a better option than the three that's in the squad.
Saying that, bad timing, Scott Bain. He escaped to your howler of the weekend.
He was very lucky too.
That's a nice transition to league football. Stephen Robinson's first act. We spoke about Barney Stewart earlier. Did we really learn anything from that? I think it's not arithmetically sewn up, is it? But it pretty much is for Falkirk now to be top six. But we've known that for a while. Anything to take away from Aberdeen at the moment, Falkirk?
Stephen Robinson will be annoyed at the way the game finished, losing that goal to Barney Stewart, but Stephen Robinson knows he has an awful lot of work to do at Aberdeen. Really interested me that he immediately went to the 3-5-2 that served him so well at St Mirren. I think, according to eyewitnesses, they were a more robust version of Aberdeen than had perhaps been seen under Peter Leaven. So they come to Ibrox. Not a lot will be expected of them at Ibrox on Saturday night, Gordon, but I think Stephen Robinson will use the last eight games of the season as learnings, if you like, as to how he's going to transform the
Dundee
team in the summer.
Derby, you meant, did you not tease us earlier? You said you thought there was a refereeing issue that annoyed you there. I think I know which one.
For me,
I think Simon Murray
should never be a penalty kick for me. No. I think it is just so, so harsh. I think he's turning towards the ball. I'd argue with anyone that I don't think his arm is outstretched. I think that is a natural position. The ball's going to the corner flag. I don't think there's any unfair advantage to be had. I think that is an extremely harsh penalty.
Because what it did was it caused people to then compare that to Alex Gogic from a couple of hours before. Which isn't a penalty either, is it?
But do you know what? Listen, it's not a penalty, but I can see why people start to compare these decisions. The fact of the matter is, Alex Gorgas isn't a penalty kick, but I don't see it as a huge difference to Simon Murray's that is given.
You know, we always try and, they've clearly seen something, so, you know, what is it they've seen? Is there a slight motion towards the ball from Simon Murray? Is that what does him? Because it must be something, as we said.
So I think his body's turning towards the ball, but I don't think he then outstretches his arm towards the ball. And like I said, see even if he's turning towards the ball and the ball's going on target and it might go in the net, then it's going to be a penalty kick. The ball's going to the corner flag. I mean, I think it's never a penalty kick for me.
At the same time, though, it would have robbed us of the ending that we got to the game.
It feels like for me, it never disappoints that derby in terms of entertainment. Never.
Really good. Right, on that note, I can hear the music playing quickly. Three more Frenchmen with 100 or more top flight appearances in Scotland since 95. Dindaloo, Roussey, Agat, Mahé, Edouard, Adam.
Is the current one Mo Salah?
Nope.
I'm in the closed territory though, I'll tell you that.
Current one plays for St Mirren, used to play for Motherwell.
Oh, Mandron.
Mikel Mandron.
He's half French. Scottish. He is French, but he's half Scottish.
I genuinely thought he was Scottish.
Mikel Mandron.
But was he not tipped for a Scotland?
Yeah, he's got a relation.
He was, yeah.
He's still
through relations.
I know, but I don't know.
You ever spoke to him or seen him?
No, I'm not. Do you know what? He stayed in my flat. He stayed in the flat I owned. I'm no joke.
A nice big guy.
Do you never spoke to him at all? No. Are you people that do that stuff for you?
Well, it's I co-own the flat.
Oh, right, okay. With another footballer, we won't mention. Yep. Right, Hibs and Hamilton. I thought you'd get this one.
Oh, I know the Hamilton one. It's
Boozerland.
Yeah. And the other one, Andy, Hearts. And also played for Hamilton. Played for Wraith as well and others, but
Christian Nady.
Yeah.
One more to go?
No, that's it.
That's only nine.
That's all you had to ask. I said nine.
Sorry, I thought you said 10.
I contributed
zero. Thank you
to that.
Very much, Andy and Roger. We're back tomorrow at 6. Enjoy the rest of your Monday.